Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Hooray! And guess who we've got on the podcast tonight, Ellie?
Is it Ruth Field, the woman sat to my left?
It is, correct!
Hooray! Hooray! Hi, Ruth Field, how are you?
Hi, really good, thank you.
Jolly good.
We're very excited. Now, Ruth is, well, you're many things, Ruth, to many people, but tonight you're our podcast guest, but you're also, let me tell you who you are, you're an author, a writer, a criminal barrister!
Yeah,
Jesus
well,
Christ. And you're a runner.
It's hard to tell which of those things you're most excited about, Helen. It's just
we're doing a special episode with Ruth because we're doing an exercise special. Yeah. We are witnessing the fitness because you've written many a thing about running, but primarily you've written this amazing book called Run, Fat Bitch, Run.
Love it.
What a catchy title.
Yes, well, very catchy title. Born of pregnancy hormones, the twins. I blame the twins for the title.
You wrote this when you were pregnant with twins.
Yes, but I mean, you know, I was not working at the time that I wrote it.
I thought you were going to say not well.
I had two babies. I was not very well.
I wasn't as well. I'm sure that that's part of it. But it was funny. It was that sort of thing of, I felt that it was an area, exercise generally, was sort of completely devoid of any sense of humour. Like everyone takes it so seriously. Mm. And I've always sort of thought humour is a great kind of motivating tool for anything in life, really. I mean, you guys totally get that because your whole shtick is humour. So, you know, that was, I was trying to be funny, but I think that it's probably took it to the edge a bit because maybe, I actually thought more people would be offended by it than they were.
Why did you think they'd be offended?
Well, you know, run, fat bitch, run. It's a bit rude, and people might have felt that I was saying, you're a fat bitch, you should be running. But I feel like if you can
have a popular music song called Smack My Bitch Up, I feel like run, fat bitch, run. It's really not that bad.
Maybe quite tame.
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's also, you know, it's me saying it to myself.
Right.
As a sort of way of humouring myself, motivating myself to go and run. And I just suggest it as a way of, instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm so great, I'm so lovely, I'm just going to sit on the sofa and tell myself how great I am, and it's okay to eat more of these delicious pork scratchings and not do anything about it. Instead, well, how about saying, you know, you're a fat bitch, get off your ass and go for a run, that maybe that'll help motivate you to exercise than the kind of very softy, I love
which
myself.
Which is the fashion now. There is a fashion of reaffirmations for kind of, I love myself and I love myself the way I
you're
am.
You're a beautiful goddess mermaid and your yes. body is a temple.
Even though you've got no legs because you're half fish.
Technicalities.
I think that's fine of itself, but it's not motivating to get you to, you know, exercise, to take that step to exercise is hard. You know, it's hard, and we'd all much rather sit on the sofa and have a glass of wine and crisps or whatever most of the time. So it's a thing of, if you really want to exercise because you really want to either lose weight or get healthy or you've got heart, whatever, or whatever it is, that you've got to think of an access to that. And for me, the least successful way of accessing the exercise is to say, I'm so great, I'm so beautiful, I'm just perfect the way I am, I don't need to tone up anything because I'm just beautiful as I am. Well, great, but that's not going to get me out the door to run 5K, I suppose.
Well, also, I feel like, I think it's all right to say, I'm not perfect. Yeah. I have got a wobbly ass and saggy boobs.
Right, well, that's another angle, yeah.
And she doesn't have saggy boobs, listener. Go to our Instagram account.
You literally look like a fucking supermodel. It's almost like, compared to how she looks in the gold cat suits.
I thought you were going to say in real life.
This is like Chris Ekobusi all over again.
Expecting that.
No, this is a true story. I went on Good Morning Britain, and I was on with Chris Agabusi, obviously national treasure, lovely man, really lovely man. But then just before we were about to go on air, we had a lovely chat, and he was like, so what do you do? And I was like, blah, blah, blah. And he went, oh, yes, no, I get it now. I recognise you. And I was like, oh, do you? And he went, yeah, no, sorry, it's because, you know, you look much heavier on camera. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. Thanks. And he went, yeah, no. Like, on camera, you look like a much larger lady. And then he did this sort of hand movement.
Oh, my God. To show
my spherical camera appearance. And I was just like, oh, thanks, Chris Akabusi. And then it was like, and we're on set. And I was like, oh, who knows? I don't hold any ill will towards him.
I do.
He's a national treasure.
It's a hilarious anecdote, though. It really is.
You know, he's hashtag no filter. That's who he is. That's just who that guy is. And I like him very much.
What was Piers Morgan like?
Well, anyway, Ruth, so...
another national treasure in a different way.
He was Piers Morgan. I mean, you do the maths.
Done.
But yeah, so real talk. Do you run to be healthy or lose weight? Because for me, I'm very vain. I don't like exercise. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to.
Yeah, so that has never been the thing for me. So, I never ran to lose weight. I started it because when I was in my 20s, I was depressed, and running was suggested to me as a thing to kind of help manage that. I had always been really sporty as a youngster, but I hadn't done any at uni, blah blah blah. I'd slipped, you know, into kind of unhealthy lifestyle, but I never was overweight, so it wasn't for that. It was always a kind of a mental health thing more than anything else, for sure.
And you found it worked?
Yeah, well, I definitely feel very kind of level-headed after a run, you know, kind of much more calm and zen, but also very productive. Mm. And now that I'm getting older, I appreciate the physical health benefits as well, of just kind of stronger bones and warding off Alzheimer's and a healthy heart and lowering cholesterol and all of those things. But really, I run because I love how I feel afterwards, and I love how kind of it makes me a kind of nicer mum and wife, I think. I think I'm a lot more moody if I don't run. Do you find that, Helen?
Yeah. I know you've been running. Yeah, so I started running. Basically, I read your book, and then I think it was about 3 months ago. I ran because my parents disappeared. In a nutshell, listener, my mum and dad disappeared for 24 hours because they went on a dirt track in Australia. And they got bombed.
And you lost them.
And then there were like 6 police units looking for them. They were on national TV. I thought they were dead. I was about to book a flight home. There was a big search out for them. There was helicopters. Anyway, yes. So I had this like weird little bit of grief, and that which I had to deal with. Yeah. And my immediate kind of thing was that I need to go for a run, or I need to run out
this feeling.
But I found it was really an amazing way to kind of just flush out. It's like sweeping the cobwebs.
Yes,
literally sweeping the cobwebs. So yeah, and I weighed 99 kilos, and so the prospect of running seemed a bit ridiculous. But I read your book and I was like, I can do this. And the great thing about your book is you say, don't start, just walk it, and then walk it again, and then walk it again, and do it really slowly. I was like, I can fucking do that. I can fucking walk, Ruth. And I liked it because I'm very touchy-feely, as Ellie would know. I'm like, it's okay, just do everything at your right pace. But you were like, no, get off the fucking couch. Look at yourself. And even at the start of the book, you have to write a pledge. I solemnly declare and accept that I'm a fat bitch, in capital letters, and I want to do something about it, full stop. I promise not to waste any more valuable fat-busting time in buying fancy equipment, joining expensive gyms. But no, this is really good. And there's a bit in there where you're like, don't eat Haribo, just fucking grow up.
That's very specific towards my husband.
I can feel the rage. There's a bit of rage toward your husband, which again, I want to.
He's such a nice guy, but he really is. But you know what, it's that thing of, I mean, I don't know if you guys guys had this when you first had your babies, but there was a rage in me when I first had the twins that was heavily directed towards my husband.
Fair enough.
And it wasn't his fault. He hadn't done anything wrong. It was this sort of the combination of the hormones and sleep deprivation and the sort of feeling that your life's been a bit robbed because you've had the children, and sort of you have to direct it somewhere. And, you know, he was definitely at the receiving end of a lot of my rage. Not so much with the book, actually, because I'd kind of written that before, but I was thinking that very recently that now the twins are six, how much kind of easier life is and how much kinder I am.
It's amazing, isn't it, when the kids grow up?
I think a little bit kinder, anyway.
Yeah, so how did you become a running guru then? Was that...
I mean, I'm definitely not a running guru in the sense that I run really, really slowly. I'm just like an ordinary, averagely fit woman who runs very slowly. But I wrote the shouty book and it seemed to chime with some people, resonated with them and got them kind of into it, which was a massive surprise to me because I wrote it for myself.
It's an international bestseller. Don't downplay it. You said it was been reprinted 15 times.
Wow.
Well, but that's because the print run was like about 3 copies.
She they don't need to know this.
She photocopies them herself in her house. That's what she means.
Staples.
Ollie bought up the whole first print run. but no, I don't know how. To be honest, it was one of those wonderful, happy, fluky coincidence things that happened.
So let's get down to brass tacks. I can't be bothered to read your book. Nutshell it for me.
Nutshell it. Well... Nutshell is Run, Fat Bitch, Run. But so basically it's about finding the easiest way to leave your house or flat and just do a loop that takes you about 45 minutes or an hour, that takes you from your front door and back to your front door, that you're going to turn into your kind of local running route.
Oh, okay.
And you just walk it day in, day out, a bit faster each time until you're ready to jog a tiny bit of it. And you jog the beginning bit until you need to walk the rest of it. And you just increase that jogging bit till eventually you can run the lap.
Is this what you did, Helen? Is this your technique?
Yeah. So I read the book and I was like, right, I found my little route. I go from my house down to Peckham Rye and back
again. Super slow.
And after about 3 or 4 times, I wanted to run it. But you're like, no. In the book, it says, slowly, slowly, catchy monkey. Whatever the fuck that means, but I did it.
Have you not heard that before?
No.
It's like a classic British expression.
What are they talking about, Australians? What are they saying?
Slowly, slowly, catchy monkey. You remember I told you that story? I used to have a crackhead neighbour in London Bridge.
Yeah.
And he... He asked me to make him a cup of tea because his kettle had been stolen.
Cash converters.
And all his things had been stolen. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, Mick. And he's like, ah, that's all right. Monkey's still wearing sunglasses. Monkey's still cool. And I was like, what does that mean?
Right.
Learning so much.
I am learning so much, as are our international listeners.
Yes. And the point is, Thorne, you did all that. You did all the loop. And you've done a bloody 5K.
Whoa.
Come on,
that bitch ran, Ellie.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So today is Tuesday, and on Sunday I did a race, a 5K race.
That's amazing.
And I did it all by myself, and I wore my gold leggings. And
hot, that must have been.
It was like wearing fucking cling film with some tin foil over the top. But I did it in 37 minutes, and when I ran with Ruth. Ruth is
not in the race, so this was a previous thing.
I ran with Ruth about 2 months ago because I rang you up and said, right, you've written this book. Let's go for a run together. And I was really, because you're like the lady at school who's really good at sport, and I'm like the person smoking behind the sheds, right? We should not be friends and should we not be running together, but we did it. And you were so nice, and it took me 58 minutes to run that 5K, and then on Sunday I did it in 37 minutes. So I shaved
amazing.
20
that is
minutes
amazing.
Off.
That is amazing.
Well
thanks,
done.
Man.
Well
thanks.
Done. No, thanks. It's a really big deal.
In your face, Chris Akabusi.
That's right.
That's fucking exercise.
Bitch can run. It was good, but I've caught the bug. Like you say in the book, you start feeling
you do. It's
better.
It's that thing of the habit, you know, habit formation. It's like with anything, isn't it? You know, if you do it for long enough, you're in the habit of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just sort of think, no, I will find time. If I can sit on the toilet and read Instagram for 20 minutes, I can just go out and have a run. Even if it's 2K or 3K or whatever, and I can do it. And there was something really wonderful because the race I did was all women. And there was a real camaraderie. Like everyone, it didn't matter what size we were, what age we were, everyone kind of encouraged each other. Wasn't that kind of weird masculine bravado? I know there are male listeners, but... I don't care.
If you're upset about that, well, go and have another cry about Doctor Who as well. We don't care.
Oh my god, yes. So yeah, no, I thought that was really good. But I think, yeah, in your book you talk about that sort of thing about staying motivated. And what are your kind of key messages? Because I think I'm sure every listener out there has started an exercise,
yes, you know,
routine, or have goals, or it's fucking January and you're gone, all right, I'm going to do 30 days of yoga, and you get to day 5, go, can't be fun.
Well, so that's what I think is the problem, is that if you sort of go in too hard, too fast, you know, it's unsustainable. So that any sort of approach to exercise and healthy eating that is a kind of like, right, I'm joining the gym, I'm going every night, I'm going to drink kale smoothies every day. You know, you get to 7 days, you're feeling faint. You've done the exercise, but you haven't lost a stone or whatever ridiculous goal you'd set yourself. And you've not enjoyed any of it because it's so far removed from who you really are and how you really live that it's just never going to work. So that is what I think makes a lot of people give up. So how I look at it is, and how most of the people that I know who exercise regularly, it's because it's not a sort of, it's not that big a deal. It's just something else that they do every day for 20 minutes or whatever it is that, and it's kind of relatively straightforward. And that's why the running thing is so handy, because you don't have to rely on anyone else. You don't have to pay anything. You can just do it from your front door. 20 minutes, you're done.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of too much too soon thing, I think, is the main problem. Mm. And then another problem, I think, is that, and maybe this sort of cultural thing as well, which is about how we're all like, oh, you know, it has to be really fun. And women, I've had lots of women say to me, but, you know, running's just not for me because I just don't enjoy it. It's just not fun. It's like, well, there's no bit of it that's supposed to be fun. Yeah. You know, that's, you know, you've fallen at the foot. Fun is what you do after you've been running or after you've done your day's work. To me, the exercise, it's great if you can find it fun, but to think of that as a goal for the exercise bit, I think is a mistake, because loads of things are fun, but the exercise isn't necessarily fun. It is really fun how you feel after you've exercised, if that makes sense.
You don't it's smell much fun. Like childbirth, I would argue.
Well, that's an interesting comparison. which bit of the after? Yeah, because you have the baby, that's the fun bit.
Because then you have the baby and then you go,
oh, that was awesome. I'm very proud of my body.
Yeah.
I sort of had the emergency cesarean thing, so I didn't have that experience at the end of it. I really wish I did.
But then it's one of those things, everyone's labours are different. So it's, you know, that's it. So what I'm saying is that was a bad analogy, Ruth.
No, it's not.
The great thing about a run is that the guarantee, the result is always the same. So you might have, the run might not be great, like a dodgy childbirth, whatever, and you may have some runs where you're like, oh, this is like, I'm really, really hating this. I feel really sluggish. I feel really just not myself. But you know, the guarantee is that after you've done it, you will always feel good. And that's what sort of keeps me doing it every time, is that I know what I will get at the end.
And it's the hit. It's that,
adrenaline.
Yeah,
endorphins is what I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, no, because you were saying that in the book about, like, it's the same thing as, like, sex and a whole lot of other things. Yes, one of the things, or maybe I just made that up.
You just slipped that one in,
No, it said, psychologically, running makes you happy because it stimulates and releases endorphins and encourages the production of serotonin, the same hormones that are released when you fall in love, gorge on chocolate, or have an orgasm. So basically what you're saying is go for a run, and it'll make, you know, that's better than doing it with your other half, really.
Well, I don't know having it crunchy. But crunchy, yeah, or you could have all three. I mean, you could do the run, you've earned the crunchy, and then you can have a bone.
Or both, Marianne Faithfull.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's an obscure reference. Did you both get it?
No, I didn't explain. Hold on.
It's been a while.
We need to Google it.
Can we just have a little side?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, because I want to say, listener, that Ruth has come to see us. She's come to see us in the gold cat suits. And we have two games, Ellie, or two things you can win. And there was 200 women in the audience. Who won both the fucking things? Ruth did.
Yes.
She's a winner. She's one of those winning people.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
It is.
When you were doing the second thing, I was sort of saying a little prayer that I didn't win it because I thought, look, everyone's going to hate me. Like,
oh God.
Who's the real dickhead in the audience? You're doing everything.
Were you a prefect? Were you always a bit of a...
loser.
No, I was. Yes. No, but I like hearing about like the makeup of people. What got you?
Yeah, I was.
Because we talked about the running bit, but you were a criminal barrister. What's your favourite murder?
I can't think of my favourite murder, but one thing that was always amused my mother was that she, instead of, you know, most people's mums will say, oh, how's your job going? And my mother, she's a devout Catholic. She goes to mass every day, which is comedy in itself. But she would say, oh, my darling, I've been praying for you that you get a nice, juicy murder. Because that's the best, you know, a murder is like the best brief as a criminal barrister. You're always hoping. And if a murder happens in your area and you're a criminal barrister, you read the papers and instead of being sad, you're like, I really hope my solicitor gets that brief. And then it comes to me, which is awful.
Yeah. So are you a true crime nut generally?
You know, I do. I love TV legal stuff. You know, and crime dramas and all of that.
Have you seen Making a Murderer?
Yes.
Do you think he did it?
I mean, I totally love that.
Do you think he did it? Who's the barrister?
Yeah,
here?
I did. That was brilliant. I mean, all that kind of stuff, I just lap it up. But I mean, I even loved, you know, the really cheesy stuff like Ally McBeal and L.A. Law and This Life. Did you ever see
that? Oh, my God.
See, that was my love. I became a barrister because of This Life.
Oh, really?
Wow. Of course. I was like, I want to do that.
Because you wanted to be Anna. You wanted to sleep with Ed.
Yeah, slept with no one.
Daniela Mancini.
I was at a fucking party last weekend. Egg was there. I didn't say hello to him.
He's in the Walking Dead now. He's like the Walking Egg. He's like a big Hollywood star now.
He was my total kind of heartthrob. Oh. And my husband's. And neither of us went to say hello.
So you were always more Egg than Miles?
Both of them. I wanted them both.
What, high-fiving over your back? That sort of thing?
I really hope my husband never listens to this.
Raymond Tickerham on the downstairs.
Not a Ferdy.
Is Ferdy.
Oh. Ferdy.
I missed that one as well.
The girls in it were really gorgeous. I thought Anna's character, she was one of those first flawed female kind of professional characters. She wasn't kind of really beautiful or really thin or really anything. She was just like a little bit on the edge, you know, or drank too much, did the wrong thing, all of that kind of stuff.
Yet
did a proper job. So I found her really inspiring. My whole interview for pupillage to become a barrister was based on that. I managed to weave This Life into the interview. And then half an hour was gone, we were done. They were like, I really like this girl. I could tell they were like, she was really... And then they hadn't asked any of the difficult questions. Wow.
What is your ultimate aspiration in terms of... And you're like, hang on a minute, just doing a quick line. carry on. That sounds good. To get back to the running chat briefly, how do you feel about like the apps? Because I've done that a couple of times. I've done the Couch to 5K app. So it's like having a sort of...
How did you find that?
I loved it. Really good. Because I quite like being told
what
to do.
Yes, well, lots of people did say to me, you should do an app. And I'm just so bad at doing apps myself. but I think... I'm a great believer in what works for anyone, you know, brilliant. If it helps you get you out the door.
But the problem I found is I've done it a few times and I've done it like so, and it's usually like with the apps, it's like you do three runs a week and you build up quite slowly to your 5K and you run your 5K, and then like to my video game brain, it's like I've completed the game.
Yes.
And I sort of lose motivation after that. So I've completed it, so I'm going to do something else now, like eat cheese and watch TV. So...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Help me, Ruth.
Well, I suspect that that's part of the sort of thing that I'm trying to get away from, which is relying on too many other things to sort of make you do the
right,
the simple habit thing of exercise, of just getting out your front door and just moving for like 20 minutes and not needing anything else, listening to your, the rhythms of your body. It sounds so cheesy, but I don't listen to anything when I run because I like to get really into what's going on with my heart and my breath and then let my brain either empty or fill or resolve stuff. So I don't want to be distracted from any of that, because to me, a lot of the gold happens during a run that if I was listening to something else, I wouldn't get.
I use an app called Runkeeper, which I recommend. And so every 5 minutes, I have a French lady who goes, "Ooh la la, you are fast."
Oh, and then she's like, sounds
think
so
of,
sexy.
Think of what the
she
funnel.
Means you're a slut.
Yeah.
She said it's French.
Yeah, fast.
Yeah.
You can choose what lady or man you have, and every five minutes it tells you your pace, how far you've
and
traveled.
Do they all have different accents? Can you choose the accent?
Yeah, yeah. So I chose a French woman, then she says, "Think of all the pain au chocolat you can eat." I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'm gonna run." So that's really good. And then I just bought like an album off iTunes, and it's got really cheesy hits.
The Eye of the Tiger. Love that. Geez.
What's your top, like when you're at the low end, do you have a track that's like gets you going again?
Do you want to know what it is?
Go on.
"I See You, Baby." Shaking that ass. And then another one, like "Madness." "Welcome to the House of Fun." You say this in the book about you see other runners, and it doesn't matter how big or little you are, they'll give you a little nod. And you go, "Yeah, I can do this." And there was a woman who must have been about 60 or 70. And I was running and she just said, "You can do this." Oh. And I just nearly broke down and, yes.
Totally.
But if I wasn't out doing that, I had that interaction with another human being. I could have actually been at home, again, sitting on the toilet and looking at Instagram. But I connected with an actual human being, which was really beautiful. So that was really nice.
There's someone actually recently who's written a book, I think, about... he's a psychologist and he's written about running and therapy and having them at the same time. So taking a client running and then having their session while they're running, because there's something about it opens, you know, you're more receptive to problem solving, but also to your emotions and to connection. Mm. Often people in therapy, I suppose it takes a long time for the therapist to get them to open up or to, you know, you could probably waste probably 20 minutes of a session. But if you're exercising, you're immediately kind of made vulnerable through the endorphins and the whatevers. But you know, the therapy thing, I run with a neighbour quite a lot on a Friday, and we run and we just have such a great chat the whole, because she runs really slowly, so
good
for me, that's even easier than my slow pace. And we can talk and we have, you know, in that 45 minutes it's like we just feel completely sorted for the whole week. You know, we've sorted out all of our worries about husbands, children, work, whatever it is, because we've just had this awesome chat. And I don't think we'd have that level of chat if we were having a coffee, because it's something about the run.
And not
maybe it's because we're not looking at each other.
No. It's like people
something
saying...
Something about that was just... We're so open. It's unbelievable.
It's like driving in a car. Ellie and I will solve all the world's problems. Ellie and I will, like, going up to a gig.
Not looking. Maybe
and I've heard that's what
like
you're supposed to do with teenagers now. If you want to talk to your teenager, drive them somewhere. And then they're in a good mood because you're giving them a lift. But also they don't have to look at you.
That's interesting.
About. So, yeah. But this isn't your only book, Run, Fat Bitch, Run. What are the other titles, Ruth?
Well, get your shit together.
Yes.
And cut the crap.
Yes.
So get off your ass and run is the American version of Rump Happy Bitch Run. They said it would not go down well in America.
Oh, they said you can't say bitch on the cover in America.
Yeah, and you know what's happened? In America, Get Off Your Ass and Run sold no copies, but they loads of them bought Run Fat Bitch Run instead through Amazon.com. Yeah.
Interesting.
So they got that. They so misjudged that.
Yeah.
They underestimated the sense of humour of the American people.
So what are Cut the Crap and Get Your Shit Together about?
So, Shit Together is sort of about it's a lifestyle book, I suppose, about getting shit done, taking action rather than just sitting and whinging about stuff.
Yes.
And then Cut the Crap was my answer to the whole the dieting industry nonsense, bullshitty, faddy diets and just try and eat less crap, basically.
That's what I think is really good about your book. And it was interesting. I read it, gobbled it up in about 3 days. And then I gave it to my neighbour. And then a week later, she wrote to me and said, I've just done a 60K ride, thanks to Ruth's book.
Oh, my goodness.
She said, her husband always goes
She meant on a taxi.
I'll wait for my husband.
60K.
I was thinking you meant a 60K bone.
No, she was like... I want an Uber to Surrey. I just need a bit of time off.
Yeah. Exactly. But I thought it was really interesting because, she said, her husband always goes to golf and he's always doing stuff for herself. And she just went, no, he can look after the kids. He took them to the cinema and she just went for a ride for herself. And I thought that was a really great feedback on your book. It's I can just do this for myself and it's just for me.
And you know what, I think it's a really good in for lots of mums who have young kids, is that we always looking after the kids and making sure everything's okay, and often the husbands have made the space to do either the exercise or go to the pub or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but if one were to say to their husband, I need a window now for 45 minutes to go for a run, no husband is going to deny his wife that opportunity.
No.
No, they're not. So it's a kind of brilliant situation for the mum because she's going to get some exercise in, get away from the house, and feel amazing. It's really hard to sort of carve out a window of a weekend, for example, when you're just at home with everyone. But if you have that, so I often do that. But, to any mum who sort of can't really be asked and da-da-da-da-da, who can't be asked to escape their children for 45 minutes of the weekend?
Glorious.
That's the way to look at it.
And some husbands will be assholes about that, to be fair. In which case...
Some husbands will be an arsehole about it. But let's hope there aren't many husbands who, if you say, rather than saying, do you mind if I go for a run? If you put on your trainers, you go, hun, I'll be back in 45 minutes. I'm going for a run. There aren't many husbands who would then leave the children or whatever. Or, they'll do it. They might do it.
Yeah.
Pissed off. But they'd still do it. Or even 20 minutes. Just get out the door.
Well, there we are. Thorn, is it time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions?
I think it is, Ellie.
And I think we have a sponsor for the confessions.
We do have a sponsor. We love our confessions so much. And so do our listeners. And so does Bing Bunny, it turns out.
Yes, that's right. Bing, the bunny of CBeebies. And we're working with Bing on the hashtag What Would Flop Do campaign. I say we're working with Bing. He's very high maintenance. His rider is unbelievable.
I love Bing.
Yes. Oh, and the twins, when they were little, absolutely loved Bing. I remember it was a really gentle CBeebies, little bunny rabbity.
You've got Mark Rylance barely opening his mouth to do the voice of Flop. It's lovely. It's all in there.
Bing and Flop. Now, speaking of which, so we're doing this campaign, What Would Flop Do? And it's all about sort of your parenting fails. So it's a nice, neat fit with our Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Yes.
And you will have seen it on the Instagram and our Facebook. But what we want you to do is share those, those sort of scummy mummy moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
we've all had them when it's just a disaster, basically. When it's just I put one on our Instagram. Do you remember when Charlie just wrote the word bum on a plaster and stuck it on the wall? And I just looked at him for, when you have those moments, you go, this is my life now. This is my life. And if I could look at myself 20 years ago, what would I have thought of this? But this is where we are.
Yeah, that's right. Or where you go to make some eggs and you realise every egg has been smashed by your child.
Oh, yes.
And it's popped back in the fridge.
Oh.
That's awesome.
As if they'll never know.
I know, that's right. Or when that really uptight mum from school comes over and you realise your kids have just pissed all over the floor. That's what would Flop do, Illy? Get a new house.
Leave home.
That's right.
But sadly, yes. So there's the Bing thing, and they're doing this new toy that's all about potty training, which I'm super keen on because I'm about to potty train my youngest son. And having potty trained the old one, the more gadgets and help and toys...
What gadgets?
So it's like a little Bing Bunny fluffy that's toy. It's got a nappy on.
Yeah.
It's super cute.
It's so cute.
Sweet.
And you press his tummy and he says things. And usually he says things like, oh, I like trees. I don't know. I can't do the voice.
He says, let's play hide and seek. Or he does all these little fun games. And then all of a sudden he said, I think he says, I need a wee wee. Yeah. And they've got a little toilet. You can put him on a little potty. And when you put him on the potty, you hear this little ps, 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 ps.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Does that wee come out?
No.
It's just the sound.
But if you don't put him on the potty in time, then on his little white nappy, he gets this little glowy yellow splash, like as if he's pissing radioactive waste into his arm.
Awesome.
Let's just go with it. It's fine.
My kids, because I got the toy today. We went to Bing headquarters today to meet with the Bing people, and we brought back the toy. And my kids are like 6 and 8, and they still watch Bing. They really like it. And I said, I've got your Bing toy. And they played with it for half an hour because kids love talking about listening to interacting with piss, basically.
Anything to do with piss and poo, farts,
the whole thing.
Yes, this toy, so true.
Yes, it will amuse you and it will amuse your toddler and / child.
Now, I always thought it was a really lovely, actually, CBeebies show, Bing, because it was very gentle and there was always a little moral in it.
Yeah.
And there was that, didn't he have a sort of, because this is quite a long time ago that my kids watched it, but he had a sort of box of things where you had to put something if it had broken or died or whatever.
Like a coffin?
Well, it was like a sort of toy box for things that were no longer play, you know, like the dead toys, basically. But they weren't actually dead, but it was the moral was is to kind of keep things that you no longer played with or that were broken.
Little keepsakes. So the moral is to never throw anything away.
Maybe it's not.
I feel like you misread the episode.
Maybe I misunderstood Bing. I was in deep, darkest postnatal depression.
So, if you want to interact with the What Would Flop Do, share your photos of parenting failure, at Bing Bunny and also at Scummy Mummies. We're running the campaign.
We're going to judge it, aren't we?
That's right.
Wow.
So this is the exciting bit, listener, is that if you share your What Would Flop Do # at Bing Bunny, we're going to judge the funniest photo or whatever, the photo that we like the best, basically.
Yeah.
And the winner will get a visit from Bing and Flop to either their house or their nursery or school.
Yeah, so you can have them like at a party or something.
Party.
I really want to win just so I can make Bing and Flop turn up at like a dinner party. Like imagine it's like 11 o'clock at night, everyone's wasted, and then Bing and Flop come on, bring it on. So I'm going to enter it myself. It's probably not allowed.
No, the terms and conditions are on the Bing website. They're gonna manage all that bit.
But that's the idea. The idea is that we all share our sort of parenting fail stories so we can all feel a little bit better about ourselves
by judging each other.
Lovely. So to kick us off, Helen, with the Scummy Mummy Confessions, a little while ago we went to Stockport to do a show at the Stockport Plaza, which was lovely, very nice. And we went up both families. We went to Legoland Discovery in Manchester, which is brilliant.
Thank you, Legoland.
Yes, thank you. And then we stayed at the Premier Inn because, I mean, why not?
We're made of money.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, my family got there quite late. It was about 10 o'clock. Took Joe's nappy off. Literally turned around to get his pyjamas, turned back, and Charlie went, "Mummy, Mummy!" And Joe had done an enormous shit, the exact size and colour of a jacket potato, on the floor of the Premier Inn.
Oh my God!
No.
And it was like, we were all marvelling it. Charlie, he was 6, even he was just like, what?
How?
That's
did he
massive.
Spell it if it was the shape of a jacket potato?
It was just, how did he, exactly? Yeah. Pete was like, I've never done one that big. It was unbelievable. Joe, very pleased with himself. I was almost tempted to put on Instagram, and I thought that's a step too far.
That's a step too far. That's TMI. That is TMI. I've got a similar toilet training. We get home. I don't know why. I don't think my children actually do any toileting at school because when you put the key in the latch, all of a sudden they're just like, ah!
Yeah, yeah.
So I did that thing. We got home. We raced in, book bags on the front step, quick, turn the key. And Hugo said, I can't wait. He dropped his Dax, turned around, faced our bin,
no.
and then just pissed all over one side of the bin. And it had been raining, so there'd been a bit of dirt back spray. And he said, I'm cleaning the bin. And he That's to be helpful. Fair, he did a good job. Job done. Make that a toy, Bing.
Yeah. Now, Ruth, have you got a Scummy Mummy confession? Toilet training themed or otherwise, up to you. Go for it.
What? But I can share my Scummy Mummy confession from the other time at your show.
Yes, my best because one. Of course we should say, Ruth, you have been to one of our stage shows where we always crown a king or queen Scummy Mummy, and you were the scummiest person in the room. You won the Scummy Mummy crown.
I know, I'm so proud of that.
So what was your confession?
I think, I can't remember, it said the I think it was nursery age, and I had a play date. The first time I'd had this child, I don't know what I was doing and why I wasn't aware this was happening, but suddenly the front door bell rang and I answered it, and it was a police, a fireman in full like fire hydrant kit, and there was like a fire engine in the road. I mean, they were attending to it. They'd been attending to a fire, I'm sure. And he said, "You are aware, miss, that your children are hanging out of a window upstairs. And I said, I had that immediate panic of like, oh, my children are going to be taken into care or something. So I just went, yes, of course I'm aware. It's perfectly safe. And he said, it really doesn't look safe. So I just ran upstairs.
If a fireman says it really doesn't look safe, I feel like that is a warning sound.
I was like, thank you very much. Shut the door.
I am perfectly fine.
Get out of the window. Like pulling them out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, love. But they were all fine.
And I didn't tell the mother, so hopefully she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Well, I'm afraid, Ruth, she's here tonight. No, she's not, sadly, although that would be wonderful. I feel like that's the end of the podcast, Dawn, don't you?
I think so. Thank you, dear Ruth, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Fat Bitch Run is available from all good bookshops. We've got a book, haven't we, Ellie?
We have. And it's brilliant. I bought it at your show. I absolutely loved it. Everyone should buy it. It's fantastic. It'll give you a real laugh.
Oh, thank you. And it's called Scummy Mummies. It's called $7.99.
That's what it says on the tin.
And we've got lots of comedy shows coming up all around the country, Thorn.
We do. We're going to places like Birmingham.
Yes.
Manchester.
Sutton Coldfield.
That's right. We're going to Cambridge on the 12th of January.
Nunhead.
We are on the 28th of November.
Wow.
I know. Right, we're going to Tunbridge Wells on the 1st of December.
Oh, loads of all so the many places. I can't even.
And it's so fun. Can I just say, the show is so fun. You must see it. I mean, it really is such a great night out.
So thank you very much for listening. We should say we've been drinking Prosecco provided by the Parent Paul, so we had a lovely gig with in Rugby.
Oh, we did.
Thank you very much. And we've been eating pork scratchings by the Snaffling Pig Company. And I mean, Ruth, what's your
delicious
verdict?
Yeah. Really good pork, really good crackling. Thank you.
These ones are ham and Coleman's mustard flavour. I feel like probably all pork scratchings are ham flavour, but let's go with it. That's their branding. Let's go with it. It's
delicious.
Thank
you very much.
What can I say, Ruth Field? I'm feeling inspired. I'm feeling motivated. I'm feeling like, you know, I might do a lunge before bed.
Good girl.
Yes.
And also, thank you for coming here.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So what's next for you, Ruth? What's your next project?
So I am writing a book, my first fiction book.
What's it about?
It's about a barrister, a female barrister who's a little bit deranged. Not decision. Now think about it. I haven't thought about Anna from this life for a long time. She's not Anna from this life, but she is. She's a normal flawed woman, basically. Mm. And she's prosecuting a very, very dark, twisted sex case.
Yes.
Where there's a whole family of sex offenders. And she, along with the police officer in the case, decide to bury some evidence from the defendants in order to secure the convictions of these people. And the story is really about her unravelling as a result. And it's kind of cat and mouse thriller because the defence counsel
Don't spoil it!
No, well, the reader knows very soon on that the defence counsel knows, but he doesn't know he knows. If you sort of
know.
Sounds complicated, but it's very,
sounds
very
sounds like a BBC drama. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that would be the Holy Grail.
Tell you what it sounds like to me. Dang, 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 dang,
dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang,
dang, dang, dang, dang, dang, dang,
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.